This episode of the Antlers and Hicks podcast is brought to you by Bloodline Custom Calls. I've been a fan of Bloodline Custom Calls for several years now. I've gotten in touch and gotten a good friendship with Jason Cooper and the boys over at Bloodline, and they make some of the best turkey calls I've heard. They also have some outstanding merchandise, so go check them out. BloodlineCustomCalls.com, Facebook, and Instagram. Check out Bloodline Custom Calls. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. I want to tell you guys about my Wise Eye trail camera experience, and let me tell you, it's impressive. I've kind of been leery of the cell camera stuff because I live in an area where the cell phone service just really is sketchy. So I get this camera, and while I'm at work, right before I leave for the day, I start activating the camera, getting everything ready. Now, where I work is Huttig, Arkansas. If you know anything about Huttig, Arkansas, you know there's more cell phone service on Mars than there is in Huttig, Arkansas. And as I'm setting up the camera, I have a user error. Operator error, I guess you could say. And I actually had to call WiseEye. I called a Louisiana number. That's a plus. Heather answered the phone, walked me through the problem. And as I'm on the phone with her, she says, oh, it just sent two pictures. Now, keep in mind, there is no cell phone service where I'm at. And it still sent two pictures. This thing is impressive. Hey, right off the bat, I'm impressed. I get home, I set the camera up, and I walk in front of it, and I get a detection on my watch that said, people detected. This thing figured out that I was a people. It's impressive. It's just the word for this camera. So go out, get you a WiseEye, check it out. If you want to look at them in person, you can get them at K&M Coffee, Corks, and Camo in Farmerville. Or if you want to buy it on the internet, Amazon's got them, man. Just go to Amazon, type in WiseEye Trail Camera, they'll pull it right up. I'm telling you, you will be impressed. They are very, very good. This week's podcast is something I am really, really proud of, guys. It's hard to get deer hunters in the first couple weeks of bow season because they're all out in the woods, they're prepping, they're getting ready, for their kids. So it's really hard to get a deer hunter in, and I know it's the first two weeks of deer season, but what I've got this week is something I think every sportsman will be proud to hear. Part of the Louisiana Double Down. That's what I call crappie fishing and deer hunting in the wintertime. You go out, you kill a deer early morning, you come in, you catch a mess of crappie late evening, or vice versa. You catch a bunch of crappie in the morning, you go, you limit out, you kill you a good deer in the evening. Talk with John Harrison, Weston, Louisiana. This guy got me turned on to the winter bite. I'm telling you, the information we're going to share on this podcast is something that every outdoorsman wants to hear. I'm not talking about just fishermen. I'm talking about everybody. If your idea of a great weekend, catching fish, killing deer, watching LSU or Louisiana Tech win or ULM win, is that's your definition of a great weekend, this is the podcast for you. Hold on. Here comes John Harrison with some outstanding information on the wintertime crappie bite. You're going to like it. All right, well, I know it's October, but we got a lot of stuff going on with fishing, and I got with my friend John Harrison out of Weston, Louisiana. John, tell everybody where Weston is.
Probably that more know Caney Lake. It's right here at Caney Lake, here in North Louisiana, just south of Ruston. Caney's well known for all its big bass it's produced over the last few years. State record come out of Caney, but I'm just right here in Weston, right here beside the lake.
Well, I got with John the other day, and I asked him, I said, John, I want to keep getting some fishing content, but I really, now that the big tournaments are kind of winding down, I don't know what to do. And he's like, well, let's talk about the winter bite. And it never really struck me, to talk about winter bite when it's still, almost 85, almost 90 degrees outside, but after I asked a few folks around, John, you was right. Folks has got that winter bite on their brain.
Oh yeah, that's when a lot of your crappie fishermen come out to play. They want to chase them in the wintertime because there's nothing like that wintertime bite. They're more predictable that time of year than any other time. And we're still in the fall bite right now. It's just leaning towards that. Those shad, they'll start ganging up, and bunching up and moving towards that deeper water. And when they do that, the fish are going to follow. They're going where the groceries are at. So it won't be long. It's just around the corner, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess fish is kind of like everything else. You know, wherever they're going to feed, that's kind of where you want to be, right?
Well, you know, there's fish that'll stay in shallow water year round, whether it be bass, crappie, whatever. But you're looking at the majority of the fish on the lake. So what happens is as that water temperature drops, a threadfin shad, he can't live in water around 40 degrees. Once it gets around 40 degrees, that shad die-off starts. So what they do is they find that thermocline, or they'll get out there on the edge of that deeper water. And when it does, you'll see those big bait balls of shad. If you've ever been on somewhere like Darbone in the winter, when it's really cold, you can go down a creek channel and they'll just black your screen out to so many shad. But that's what they're doing. They're trying to find that warmer water. Well, naturally, when they all gang up, what's going to happen? The fish are going to be there too. And they're eating on that because it's an easy meal. So in the wintertime, that's what you'll see a lot of times. You'll see people following the bait because that's where the fish are going to be, where the bait's at.
I got you. So tell me when you know, okay, we're transitioning to the winter bite. What
right.
dictates that?
Well, temperature. You know, temperature outside. Once that water temperature starts falling, you're going to start seeing these fish on, you know, a lot of your typical lakes across the country. You're going to start seeing these shad all come out of the backs of these creeks and these creek arms headed toward that main river channel or that main creek channel or that deeper water down towards the dam. And as it gets colder, the deeper water they're going to look to. You take somewhere like Darbone, a lot of shallow water flats, but there's access to deep water really close. So a lot of those fish don't really migrate, say, as much as the fish do here on Caney. Just a totally different body of water, but you'll see the shad get out there on the edge of that creek channel, the main creek channel in Darbone, because it's so deep. And it, like I said, it's blackish green out. Well, that stumps and brush and whatnot along the edge of the channel just hold fish all winter long. It's just a good place to start for wintertime fishing, or following your creek channels as they're coming out to the main creek channel. You know, your feeder creeks. That's another good way to follow these fish out.
So when you want to hone in on an area where you're going to concentrate on your fishing, you pull up your map, probably Navionics or something like that. So you're looking. What are you looking? You're looking for flats that that kind of go into some deeper
transition
water.
Points. Once it gets to the what we're calling the winter bite, it's going to be more of a deeper water bite. These fish are looking to find some warmer water. And they can't do that in that 6-8 foot of water because the shad are looking for some warmer water. Let me say that, not the fish, but and the fish are just following the shad. So they're going to be out in something a little bit deeper. Like here on Caney, you know, traditionally we've been doing it for years and years and years. You catch them down at the dam in the wintertime, same way at, say, Claiborne, Lake Claiborne. They're going to be down there at the dam once that cold weather hits, because that's where all the shad go. And they're doing that so they don't die off. If that water temperature gets below 40 and gets to those shad, they will start dying off. So, you know, they get in that thermocline where that water's a little bit warmer in that water column and try to hold out in it in that deeper water. And if not, they'll go further down toward the bottom. That's why a lot of times you'll hear everybody talking about catching them right on the bottom in the winter in that deep water. Well, that's that warmest water for those shad.
Okay. So I had one of my buddies ask me, he wanted me to ask you, like when they move, are all of them going to the same depth, or are you going to have some of them a little higher?
Oh, no. You can fish 35 foot water here at Caney and sometimes catch fish, you know, 7-8 foot deep, same way at Darbone. You know, I may be in 20 foot water and catching them 7 foot deep. They'll be in that water column. You know, and you're looking at totally two different types of fish. You got black fish and white fish, or a black crappie and a white crappie. Darbone is primarily all white crappie, and they're more like a roamer, open water type fish. They'd rather have more like pole timber or stumps versus a black. Here on Caney, they're more pack oriented and brush piles, brush tops, or just be out in a pack roaming on the edge of a grass line. So you know, you got to kind of understand that the difference in the two type fish you're fishing for, but
Yeah, it's funny you say that because one of the most beautiful, I'll never forget, when I lived on the lake, I used to love to kayak fish. And
Oh, yeah.
so I was out there just piddling, you know, because I had just moved on the lake and I knew we had some crappie and whatnot. And I'm out there piddling and I ain't hitting a lick of a snake, man. And I dropped right there in a brush top and because I came out with one of the most beautiful black crappie I'd
Oh,
ever
yeah.
seen. And I didn't know that the different species of crappie, I guess you'd call them the different species,
Yeah, it
one would
is. It
like
is.
a brush top versus a stump setting. So that's interesting. I'm glad you said that.
You know, not to say that they won't mix up and you won't catch both in both scenarios, but it's just typically that the black crappie is going to be more pack oriented. Usually, when you find blacks, you're going to find quite a few of them ganged up. And the whites, like, you know, on Darbone, you're picking out single fish most of the time. You know, it's sometimes you'll find several ganged up together, but most of the time it's going to be a single fish. But yeah, it's just that time of year. It's coming quick, you know. And there's a lot of great lakes here in North Louisiana to fish. You got, you know, Caney, Darbone. You can't never look away from Darbone. Darbone's one of the best lakes in the country for crappie fishing. You got Lake Claiborne, really good crappie up in Lake Claiborne. You got Washita River. I like fishing Darbone Bayou in the winter. But it's tough over there in the summer, but in the winter time the fishing is really, really good.
I wonder
So
why that is.
those fish over there, river fishing, fishing the river system, totally different than fishing these man-made impoundments. I mean, if you go all over the country on these river systems, and any one of these tournament guys will tell you, those fish will be here today and gone tomorrow. You just don't never know. There's nothing really consistent about the river. It changes daily. So those fish migrate and move around a lot, and they get hard to catch depending on if you got moving water, rising water, falling water. It all dictates what those fish do. But these lakes, your water stays pretty consistent most of the time, and it's a lot easier to pattern those fish. And like I said earlier, in the spring and fall, even the summer, these fish are doing different things, and they're scattered. But in the wintertime, the majority of these fish will gang up, so it's a lot, I guess you'd say, easier to catch them. It's just that they're more concentrated in certain areas versus scattered out all over the lake.
I got you. Man, that's, I'd never really thought about that before, but I can see exactly what you're saying, where that would be accurate, how they would congregate in certain spots and then spread out in certain spots. So
Right.
that's interesting. And you know me, man, I like I say before, I am as green as a gourd at this stuff. And I wanna with this the next few podcasts around fishing, I wanna center it around, somebody like me who's just getting introduced and is trying to learn all that they can about what's going on around our area, how to
Well,
fish them, kind of some stuff to look at.
that's right. A lot of these fishermen, and they used to be the same way. They kind of tight-lipped. They don't tell you what's going on. What where I'm catching them on this, and I'm catching them here. I'm catching them. You can't hardly get them to say anything. But I can tell you, man, this crappie world, especially the tournament world, these guys will tell you anything you want to know. They don't hold back any information. I'll talk to anybody about it. Tell them, right where I'm fishing and what I'm fishing with. It's about helping others right now, and it's really changed the way I fish, and that's from being around a lot of these crappie clubs. If somebody's really wanting to get into it and wanting to learn more, that's one of the best things they could do is join one of these little clubs and fish some of these little tournaments. And you think, well, man, I'm not a tournament fisherman. Well, it's not about that. It's about camaraderie and getting to talking with these guys, and you learn from each other, and you share information, and everybody just gets better at it. And it's made me a better fisherman for sure.
Yeah, and I can see, I guess you could say fisherman recruitment, because the more people that you can get in the sport, and not to overcrowd it, but the more people you can get, the more, the emphasis the state will have on setting the good regulations. Not to say that the regulations now aren't good, but if a change is needed or to grow the sport, I guess
Right.
you could say you really need to get that recruitment going. And the more you can encourage people versus, well, he'll learn just like I did, that.
Exactly. Hunting's the same way hunting or fishing, and youth, getting the youth involved in it, because that's the future of it. You know, I'm all about getting new people into the sport. But like I said, these crappie clubs are some of the best things you can find out there. These guys will really help you and talk to you and get you going in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's just something to think about if you're getting into it.
I got you. Now let's talk about bait. What kind of bait? I mean, is it the same stuff they would normally bite during the other times, or is there something that during the wintertime that those fish are going to look into?
Well, I typically, you know, I don't use many different type baits. I just use variations of the baits brands I use, you know, but like I said, I'm sponsored by Leland's Lures Crappie Magnet and Trout Magnet. So I use a lot of crappie magnets. I got different little things I do to them to cut them down or change the profile. I think it's the bite depends more on the profile than it does the color. People get excited when you talk about that because they think, well, what's he talking about? Color don't matter. I can catch them on one color one day. The next day, I got to use a totally different color. Well, that's true. You know, it depends on the clarity of the water, the time of day. Is it overcast outside or is it sunny? Is it clear water or dark water, muddy water? That's what's going to determine what color I use. But I'm going to start out with the biggest jig I can get away with. And here's the reason why. It's just easier for me to fish with a big jig. If I can't get away with it, I downsize, you know, and then I'm going to keep working my way down to a hair jig until I get a reaction bite and figure out what profile they're looking for. How are they wanting that bite? And a lot of that depends on where these crappie are located in the water column. A crappie's eyes are set up on his head a lot different. He can't see downward. He's going to look straight ahead and up. That's why all crappie, they'll tell you, fish above them, because they'll turn up bait. And that's true. You know, you just got to figure out where they're at in the water column. If you're going to fish a brush pile, start out above it, around the edges of it. Don't just drop it right down in the middle of that brush pile, because a lot of times you're dropping it past fish. But I use a lot of crappie magnets, and I use eye hole jigs. And that's just a jig a friend of mine makes, Blake Phillips, over in Dothan, Alabama, where you can put the little crappie niblets in the eye of the jig. So you got scent in your jig all the time and not just a little crappie niblet on your hook that a fish hits it and it comes off. But, you know, I fish that a lot. I fish a lot of hair jigs, especially in the winter. You know, the fish are more lethargic. The water's a lot cooler. And so you got to slow down your presentation. But like I said earlier, those fish are going to be sometimes really deep. So you got to get your bait down there to them. So like I said, I'm going to start out with the biggest jig I can get away with and then start downsizing from that until I get a reaction out of these fish.
Now, when you say get away with, what are you talking about when you say get away with?
Well, a lot of times, you know, especially a black crappie, they like a smaller profile bait. A lot of these white crappie, they'll eat a big bait. But if I can get a quarter ounce head and a big 2-inch bait, that's what I'm going to use because it'll fall faster. It'll get down there to those fish quicker. I'm going to fish with that because it's easier to fish with if I can get away with it. But a lot of times these fish won't react to it. They won't bite it. So then I'm going to go to, a 1/8 ounce, and then I'm going to go down to a 16th and then a 24th hair jig. I'm just going to keep downsizing it and shortening my profile. These fish are short striking that bait, just coming up there and just nipping at it, but you can't get a good hook set on. I'm going to shorten that bait. I'm going to make it smaller profile. So they're getting that hook when they grab that bait. It's just a lot of little tricks. It's just figuring out what the fish want that particular day.
Okay. That's, you know, that's something that I've never even thought about, you know, not just the size and all that. Man, that's interesting to hear. How did you figure that out? Just years of doing it?
Years of doing it. And like I said, you know, I've been fortunate enough to get to fish with some of the best crappie fishermen in the country. And I've learned a lot from those guys, you know, about different things. Ronnie Capps and Steve Coleman was one of the first people I ever heard of. They're 8-time national champions. They were one of the first times I ever heard of a mud. Crappies in the mud. I thought, what are these crazy cats talking about? Crappie in the mud. Well, you know, LiveScope has taught us a lot, you know, forward-facing sonar. We're seeing things live, and we're realizing things now that we thought were true, were really true, and some things we found out are false. But they said a crappie would lay flat in that mud, and it was hard for me to believe, and we've proved that to be true. crappie love mud. They'll lay flat on the bottom. We catch them all the time with mud all up and down their bellies. And nobody would have ever thought that years ago, but those two figured it out. Figured that out a long time ago.
How did they figure that out? Like you said, when they pull them up, they had mud all over them. They just guessed.
Oh, yes, sir. We catch quite a few with mud on them, especially in the summertime. You know, you'll hear a lot of them talk about them fishes on the bottom. They're laying flat to the bottom, and that's what they're doing. They're laying down in that mud. You know, they'll come up off and eat a bait if you can get them, but it's hard to catch them things when they're down flat on the bottom because you can't see them. But that's why a lot of times you can spot a rig and drag in minnows right across the top of them, and they'll come up off that mud and eat them. And that's another thing. You know, everybody talks about live scope nowadays, and it's a great too. It's taught us a lot. But, you know, I fish a lot over in Mississippi. Yeah, you know, there's four great lakes over there, and I go over quite a good bit fishing. And we very seldom use electronics other than our mapping to get around. You know, we're not fishing that same style as live scoping with a single pole trying to catch a single fish. We're spider rigging or power trolling or long lining. That's some of my favorite ways to fish. If I'm fishing for fun, is to spider rig. I mean, it's deadly in the winter. You're just gonna have to slow down. Because like I said, that water temperature is cooler, and those fish are way more lethargic. But spider rigging is a deadly combination in the wintertime.
I'm glad you brought that up. When I first moved on the lake, I don't think sonar had really grabbed a hold around here because there was a ton of men out there. Because I lived off of Stowe Creek, and I lived basically yep. right where the one split goes to the dam, and then one split goes to the big lake. And
okay.
I mean, I would look out there and there would be guys out there with, you know, poles scattered all out in front of them. And I'm yeah. like, how in the world are they doing that? So let's talk about spider rigging in just a minute. Are those poles, are they fishing at different depths? Are they fishing different lures? What are they fishing when they do that?
Well, you most of the time you got two men up front, you're running eight poles. And it's a little bit stiffer pole than you would normally use in a hand pole. And nowadays we try to get them 16, 18, 20 foot long. But you stagger your depth. Most time you're running two baits, whether it be a double minnow rig or two jigs or a jig and a minnow. You just kind of mix up the size, the colors, and the depths until you kind of get on a break line and you're working on the edge of that channel or a lip there coming off of a flat. You're just working down the edge of it until you figure out what depth water those fish are in and what color they'll like. And you'll start noticing them hitting on one rod pretty regular. And when you do, you kind of set your others to that and change to those colors. And spider rigging is one of the most fun things you can do. It's easy fishing, fun fishing. You can sit back and kid around while you're doing it. One of my favorite ways to fish.
So, you know, and a lot of people may not have quite the funds to go out and invest in a live scope. So, you know, multiple poles would be a good way those guys to go at it. So
Definitely. You don't have to have a live scope to catch crappie. We did it for years and years before it come out. And I think it's more of a tournament thing. I mean, there's lots of guys going to it that have it. But like I said, we fish over Mississippi a lot on Sardis, Enon, Arca Butler, Grenada, and never use them. We just using, you know, power trolling in the summer where we're running, you know, a little bit stiffer rods than your normal, you know, spider rigging rods. They're power trolling rods. They're real stiff. The B&M power trollers are what they're called. And we're running 3 ounce weights on those rods. And a 3 ounce weight is pretty heavy. So you got to have a pretty stiff rod. And we're running around 1.7 miles an hour to 2 miles an hour. I mean, we're pushing these jigs fast, but it's summertime and these fish are really feeding and they'll just come and run those baits down. And so you're moving pretty fast. You're not letting them get a good look at it. Versus now we're going into the winter and the winter bite's going to have to slow down a lot. Everything's going to have to slow way down.
So you're fishing, when you're going that fast, you're fishing a heavier lure so that it doesn't swing in behind you. It kind of stays out.
Oh yeah.
There.
We're running the 3 ounce weight on our line, on our main line. With a 8 foot leader below that weight, and 3 foot down that line, you'll have a 6 inch leader that comes off of it with a eighth ounce fin spin. A Crappie Magnet Fin Spin Pro is the best. It's got a little spinner on it, and then 2 foot down from that, you're tying another one. So you're running two jigs below that at 3 ounce weight. And it's got those poles bowed over at 3 ounces, but it's, you're clicking on pretty good, and them fish were just annihilated. But that's summertime fishing when you're moving really fast, you know.
Right, right. And you're going into the winter, you slow it down, because normally, because the water's going to be cooler, the fish are – do the fish move slower in the cooler water?
Yeah, they'll be more lethargic in the winter. They can still move just as fast as they do in the summer, but for the most part, those fish are going to slow down because that water temperature is so cold. You know, they're not going to be chasing the bait a long ways. So you want to slow down, and minnows are a good thing to use in the winter, or jigs, and tip them with minnows. But like I said, it's hard to beat, you know, a crappie magnet. Little crappie magnets are not expensive. They're just great little baits, and there's tons and tons of different colors. You know, and eye hole jigs, I can't recommend them enough, because you can put that scent in the eye of it. And a lot of times when you got a finicky bite, that scent will make the difference.
I like that, because I know that, like what you just said, you know, you put the crappie nibble on, all it takes is one fish to come up here and be aggressive, and it's gone. You know, and if
that's,
you didn't catch that fish,
right,
you know, you've lost. Or you've got to reset.
If you're fishing around stumps in a brush pile and you bump it in that brush pile, it knocks it off a lot of times. So there you are. You know, you got to put another one on. You got to stop, and it takes time to do that versus it dispersing out of that head slowly. You know, and a lot of times, think about it, it's on the head of that jig. It makes them inhale that jig to get to that scent too.
Absolutely.
Being up on the top of the head. So
now where can somebody get those at?
You know, they in lots of tackle stores, K&M. There's lots of them around here in your small tackle stores, but you can also look on their website, iholejig.com.
Okay.
Just a great little old jig head.
It sounds like it. It sounds like that'd be, especially if you know, you really like the crappie nibble. You believe in the crappie nibbles? I mean, is that kind of one of those things?
Oh, yeah.
I use
what they call slab bites, which is the same thing. It's a crappie nibble, but they're slab bites, and they're made by Leland's Lures by Crappie Magnet. There's tons of them in my boat. I use them consistently. I believe in them. You know, do I think they work all the time? I think sometimes those fish are hungry. They're eating. It doesn't matter what you put in front of them. But I think when the bite's tough, it does help.
Okay. Hey, I tell you, you know, you were saying that we fished for years without live scope. Years ago, me and my buddy was fishing. And we were on Darbonne right there at the Highway 2 Bridge. And, I mean, there's three or four boats around us. And we're all fishing, and nobody's catching anything. And all of a sudden, this African-American guy comes up. He's in a John boat, has no motor. He has a paddle. And he's sitting in the back. This guy's so big, the back end of the boat's jacked up, right? And, I mean, he's paddling. He's got a headset, and he's on the phone. And he pulls up beside one boat, and he pulls up about three or four fish. And he pulls up. He gets beside me and my buddy. He pulls up three or four fish. And I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. And he gets down there to the last boat. And finally, somebody asks, he says, man, how in the world? I mean, we all got nice rigs with all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they said, how in the world do you catch them? And he said, hold on just a second. And he pulled that headphone away from him, and he said, hey, brother, I fish every day. And he kept right on going on down the creek.
That's right.
And, you know, people been catching fish for years without the sonar. Like you said, I can definitely see where it would really help.
Oh, yeah. We didn't use fishing. It. And then we had, you know, just the down imaging and side imaging. It's just escalated. It's just evolving with times. We used to ride around on, you know, horses and buggies, and now we'd ride around in big F-250s. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of the same thing. It's evolution. Some people's going to buck it, but it is what it is. It's here to stay. But you do not have to have that to catch fish.
Right.
I did two videos last year. You talking about Stowe Creek. I put in there at Stowe Creek boat ramp, and I only cranked my motor to get the boat off the trailer. And I turned around and put my trolling motor down and cut the cameras on and done a little old video there that morning showing you could catch them right there at the boat ramp.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to the other end of the lake to catch fish, you know, at the right times of year. It was springtime. Those fish were moving up in Stowe Creek to spawn. Lots of them go right underneath that bridge there at Stowe Creek. There's lots of people fish right there from the bank. You know, but there'll be a lot of places that you don't have to put a big boat in. You don't have to have a big 21 foot with a 200 on it. I mean, you can take a John boat or a kayak and catch these same fish.
The first year I moved down there, I fished, man. I thought, yeah, I'm going to be a crappie fisherman. I go down there, and man, I'm trying, and I'm not catching. I can't catch nothing. And that went on for months. I'd catch one here and there, and finally it starts getting in the spring. And, I mean, when it started warming up, I really started fishing, and I didn't do good at all. And all of a sudden, these people are coming down here and standing off the road, and they're standing on the edge of the road, and they're fishing. And I'll never forget this as long as I live, John. I had my daughters with me. It was Good Friday, and I took them to their mama. And when I came back, when I left, I seen this guy sitting right at my pier. And when I left, I went down to Calhoun, Louisiana, turned around and come back, and he was still sitting there. And, you know, about 30 minutes later, I walked down there, and I said, "Have you done any good?" He said, "Come here." I hadn't caught anything, and I hadn't fished in a couple of days. And I guess the bite turned on right then, and because he had a cooler full. He said, "I've been sitting right
here." Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's just like you say, right in that area, it's there. That's a really, really, really good area to
go. Oh, Stowe Creek's one of the best places on the whole lake. But Darbone, man, you close your eyes and drop in on Darbone and find crappie. I mean, they're just pick your spot on the lake. There's crappie up both creek arms, you know, up Corny and up Little Darbone, down in the main lake. There's just crappie all over. But Stowe Creek is one of my favorite places to fish.
Well, I figured out why. When they dropped the lake down like they do, you know, for people to.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'd seen them boats coming by there running, you know, 60, 70 miles an hour. And I'm thinking, okay, man, that's nice. They dropped that lake down. I'm like, these guys are crazy. Man, there was more stumps just off that channel. I'm like, my goodness.
Yeah, it's crazy how many there are. I mean, if you're not familiar with Darbone, it's not the place just to tear out and run. You need to stay in the boat lanes because, you won't own a lower unit very long if you don't.
Absolutely right.
It's stay in the boat lanes, definitely.
Now, let's talk about real quick. Now, we talked about lake fishing. How does river fishing during the winter differ from lake fishing?
Well, you know, it's all going to depend. It's basically the same as far as with the concentration of the shad. The fish are going to follow them. The shad are going to try to, you know, find that warmest water. Last year I did a video there. I think it was around Christmas time, close to Christmas. It may have been before Christmas. Man, I was catching fish in 4 foot of water. I never would have thought that going that morning, but that's where I found them, was in 4 foot of water. And it was way over there in December. Those river fish are different, or a whole different breed, man. They you never know about those things, but for the most part, take somewhere like Darbone Bayou, they'll gang up in that bayou in the wintertime on that main channel. You know, it's just a main creek channel. It's all Darbone Bayou is, and they'll gang up on the edges of that thing. And when they're there, you can wear them out.
Okay. I'd never done any fishing. Well, I've done some brim fishing on Darbone Bayou before, but, you know, other than that, I hadn't spent a whole lot of time on it, and I'm not too terribly far, from one of the good landings over in Rocky Branch. So I've been thinking about going over a little bit and doing a little bit of fishing over.
Yeah. I fish over there quite a bit, you know, throughout the year, but like I said, sometimes it can get pretty tough in the summertime, but that winter bite over is generally pretty good. But you also, like I said, you got a lot of really good lakes around here. You know, these guys are going to be deer hunting, and after a while, they're going to be ready to go crappie fishing. I mean, it's just going to eat them up, and they can't wait to go. And when that gets here, that winter bite's going to be on. And some, you got some great lakes, man, like Caney, Darbone, Claiborne, Darbone Bayou. There's a lot of good places around here to go. And they're not hard to find. You'll see a lot of those boats ganged up down at the dam on Claiborne and Caney, because that's where the shad are. That's where the majority of those crappie are at. Now, on Darbone, it's a little bit different, because a lot of those fish don't have to migrate as much as, say, these Caney fish do, because they got those big flats and access to deeper water. A lot of those fish live and die in the same area their whole life. They don't migrate from one end of the lake to the other like, say, these fish do here on Caney. But you get out there on the edge of those creek channels or down around the dam in that deeper water where those shad are concentrated, and you're going to find crappie.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question that a deer hunter would ask a crappie fisherman if he wanted to get in. You're going to laugh at this, okay?
All right, come on with it.
is there a certain time of day or a moon phase to where you think white perch bite better on?
Well, it's like deer hunting. You know, early and late. You know, early, right after daylight and right before dark is your best times. But can you kill a big 12 point at 12 noon? Yes, sir, you can. I've killed some big bucks right up in the middle of the day. But for the most part, early morning and late evening are your best times to fish. That's when a fish is normally going to, you know, traditionally going to feed more, that in at night. So.
Right. I've always wanted to get a good buck in the morning and go catch a cooler full of white perch in the evening. I've never been successful with it. Man, I tell you, I've wanted to do that for so long.
We need to plan us a trip then, because, you know, used to when I deer hunted a lot, nowadays all I do is fish. And you know, I would go fishing in the morning and deer hunting in the evening. I was an evening hunter. I loved to hunt that last 30 minutes before sunset. It just seemed like that was my time. If I was going to kill a big one, I was going to kill him. But I would go fish in the morning and hunt in the evening. I did it, you know, all the way through hunting season. I never quit fishing. But like I said, nowadays my daughters and son-in-laws, they all hunt and kill deer, my wife, and now I got grandkids killing them, so there ain't no sense in me chasing them too. You know what I mean? I just stick with them old crappie and chase them around.
I like the idea of the winter bite, man. Now, when you brought this up to me, you know, like I said before, I asked a few people, and man, they were fired up about it, wanting to hear about it. And is there anything else that you think, you know, would pertain to the winter bite that we need to know?
Not that we hadn't hit, you know, just there's several different styles, you know, equipment. We ain't talking about equipment, you know. A lot of times, and used to way before sonar, we're talking back not long after Caney filled up and the crappie bite was good down at the dam. We take spinning rods, just a regular little 6-foot spinning rod. You drop it all the way to the bottom, crank it up twice, and lay it on the side of the boat and do another one. You'd had several of them out. And that's the way we caught them in the winter, because those fish were down there in that deep water closer to the bottom where the shad. So, you know, in the summertime and spring, especially the spring on Darbone, them things get really, really spooky. And we're using these 16-foot poles now and trying to reach out and catch them fish way away from the boat. Where you can get away with a lot more of the deeper water that they're in. So you can get right over them, say, here on Caney when they're in this 30-foot water. They may not be but 20-foot down, but you can get over the top of them and just use a short rod and drop it right down to them. So, you know, it's a difference. You can use long poles, short poles. It really doesn't matter. But I like to use around a 10-pound line most all the time. 6 to 10-pound line, canine fishing line is what I use, but it's really, really great line. I use a high vis fluorocarbon because I'm getting old and I can't hardly see, so I need that high vis. But I'm a firm believer in fluorocarbon, whether I'm fishing dirty water or clear water. But you know, lighten your line. You know, don't use a big old heavy line and slow down. That's some of the best tips I could give somebody in the winter time.
You know, I heard a lot of guys the other day when we had that pro-am talk about that canine line.
It's great line. Kelly Albertson's the one who owns K9, and let me tell you, he's a great guy, great company. All my sponsors are really, really, really good people, and they do a lot for the fishing industry. You know, just like you was talking about at that tournament me and you were at. You know, there's a lot of great companies out there, and they support the crappie fishermen. They really do.
Well, dude, hey, I appreciate you coming on tonight, man. Like I said before, I want the next few fishing podcasts that I do to be centered around not only my growth, but just helping other people understand from some of the best around. And, man, when you offered that up, I had to bite on it. I couldn't, you know, to talk about the winter bite and then to talk about how to go after them in the winter. You know, while we still got a little time to make an adjustment on our gear, I think that was the perfect topic.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, anybody's watching and needs any information or wants to talk about it, tell them, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok.
Yeah. I was going to ask
John Harrison or John Harrison Fishing, and I'd be more than glad to help anybody.
I was going to ask you, who does? Do you do all that yourself, or you got somebody help you with it?
No, I just do it myself.
Dude, you do a good job, man. You do a really good job.
Thank you. You know, most of all that's just shot myself. Now, there was a company that helped me in the beginning, but that's who I learned from. They taught me how to do it, and you know, we just kind of going from there.
Yeah, if you guys want to, you know, some good social media content, especially centered around fishing, go check out John's stuff. It's good. I mean, it's not just slapping up video. I mean, he's edited them down. It's good. It really impresses me, John. You've done a good job, man.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, dude. Well, look, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your time. I hope I can get you on maybe a little bit later on. We can talk a little bit more fishing. How about that?
All right, dude. Sounds good. Just holler when you're ready.
Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Man, I hope you guys enjoyed that one. I know I did. I sat here the whole time on pins and needles. I almost got out my legal pad of paper and a pen and started writing down some notes because what John talked about was just really some good, solid stuff to go catch white perch in the wintertime. You don't need live scope. You don't need all that stuff. Just get out there and go. I'm going to tell you, God blessed me with a guy like John Harrison. I met John. He's a good dude. He always... I text him, you know, two or three times a week, and he's always giving me good information and pumping me up. Go follow and like John on social media. I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy it. You know, the Bible says it, you know, iron sharpens iron. Being around people like John who want to do better, who are growing in their craft, make me want to grow in my craft. And I can't thank him enough for coming on here this evening, talking to us about the crappie bite late season, the winter bite, how it's going to slow down. Oh, man, it's just a ton of good. I'm sitting here, I just can't even believe we just covered that good information in that shorter span of time. I'm going to get some more stuff coming, guys, I promise you. Deer hunting, I want to talk about big deer. I want to talk about crappie fishing. This is I'm not going to say this is a North Louisiana podcast. This is an outdoors person's podcast. If you want to hear it, I'm going to cover it. So, give me some good ideas. Shoot me a direct message, social media. I'm even trying to get my TikTok up. I'm going to be TikTok famous. So, my name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks podcast. And as always, I'm encouraging you guys to live life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.